Hi, everybody. This is Brittany, and I'm going to be your moderator tonight for the telephone town hall. I'm here with State Senator Katie Muth, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall program. If you have a question for Senator Muth at any time, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. I'm going to remind you of that a couple of times, so don't worry if you forget. Now let's welcome Senator Katie Muth.
Thank you very much, Brittany, and thank you to everyone participating tonight in this telephone town hall discussion, all of the residents and constituents on the line, as well as our guest speakers that have been gracious enough to give us their time in a very highly chaotic time of managing one of the most unprecedented crises we've had in our nation. I want to say thank you to my special guests, which are include Montgomery County Commissioner Dr. Valerie Arcush, from Chester County, our County Health Director for the Health Department, Jean Kasner, our Community Development Director, from Chester County, Pat Bukovitz, and also the Economic Development Council, COO, from Chester County, Mike Grigliarnis. And I just want to say thank you again for all joining us, and we'll cover a lot of topics that myself and many of these guest speakers will be able to chime in and lend some information and insight as to what's happening in Pennsylvania in response to the COVID-19 virus. If you didn't have a chance to ask your question throughout this, please remain on the line. You will be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will definitely follow up and get back to you with the answers. If your question was submitted and it is not answered tonight, we will be following up with everyone who submitted questions so that you get the information that you need if you didn't hear it on the call tonight. Thank you again for your participation. And if you have any additional questions, as always, our office is open for calls and emails, and you can visit my website at senatormuth.com. So I want to start off with some questions that we had from people who submitted them in advance. Just take two or three of those questions. So Brittany, do you want to start with the first question?
Absolutely, Senator. So we received a bunch online from people that saw your e-blast and the notice of this event on Facebook. So a couple people wanted to know the status of personal protective equipment supplies available in Pennsylvania and how those supplies are going to be distributed, particularly in your area.
Sure, that's a great question, and I'll start, but I'd like both Jean and Val to jump in and anyone else that has insight on this on the call. We know that supplies are being distributed around the Commonwealth. We know that supplies can come from the federal government, reserves, the state level. Hospitals have their own supplies. We're trying to make sure that everywhere in the state has, adequate PPE, which is personal protective equipment, for all of our healthcare providers, which is key. And part of that is ensuring that they have what they need to handle the influx of patients that are coming in. Val, do you want to chime in about Montgomery County specifically?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And thank you, Senator Muth, for inviting me to join you this evening. So personal protective equipment is, as you've heard, a national shortage right now. Here in Montgomery County, our hospitals are doing okay. We did put a request through PEMA, which is the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Association, to what's called the Strategic National Stockpile, and that is exactly what it sounds. It's stockpiles of emergency equipment for things like pandemics or other problems. And our county is going to get, in fact, has already started to receive an allocation of those N95 masks, which are the masks that actually protect you from the virus, or protect somebody with the virus from, if they cough, spreading it to others. So we are doing okay right now. We've also had just a wonderful number donated over the last several days, for which we're very, very grateful. What's really important about personal protective equipment is that we need people to stay at home and not help continue the spread of this virus, because there won't be enough personal protective equipment in the world if people don't start staying at home and taking steps, every step that they can, to try to make sure that they don't get sick themselves or inadvertently spread the virus to others, since we do know now that people can have the virus, not have any symptoms, and be contagious. So that's part of what's behind all these efforts to get people to stay home, is to make every effort not to overwhelm our hospitals and our first responders.
Thank you for that. Now, we have a couple of expert panelists here with us tonight, and in addition to Commissioner Arkush and the Senator. So, Senator Luth, would you like to introduce the rest of the guests we have here today?
Sure. I think it would be a great time just for each person to just say a little bit about what their role is and why they're on this call. So, Val, you sort of already said who you are, but do you want to just give a brief update, and then we'll follow with Jean?
Sure. So I'm Val Arkush. I'm chair of the Montgomery County Board of Commissioners and a physician, practiced medicine up until about 5 years ago, and have a degree in public health. And I've been leading our efforts here in Montgomery County around this disease. As of this afternoon, we have a total of 136 cases in Montgomery County, and we've been working very hard since we got notice of our first case, which was just on March the 7th, so just a little over 2 weeks ago. It's unbelievable what's happened in such a short time. And we've worked to really make sure that the public had the information they needed to protect themselves. We've been doing lots of contact tracing around cases. We were able to get a community-based testing center up and running as of Friday, and since Friday, we have tested 1,100 people approximately through that site and starting to get results back from that. So we've been working around the region. We've been working with all five counties here in southeastern Pennsylvania very collaboratively. We have a conference call every day at noon with all of the leaders of each of the counties, and also other calls with hospitals and others, so that we're putting together the regional response that this disease requires.
All right, thank you, Commissioner. Now we also have the County Health Director for Chester County, Jean Kasner. Jean, do you want to say a few words about the status of coronavirus in Chester County? Jean, are you on mute, or should we go to the next, our next guest? All right, we have Director of Chester County Community Development, Pat Bakovitz. Pat, are you there?
I am. Good afternoon.
All right, you want to give us, thanks for being with us. Do you want to give us a brief update?
Well, you're welcome, and I would also thank Senator Muth for inviting me. I am the director of the county's Department of Community Development and also the Workforce Development Board. For the last couple weeks, I have also been serving on the county's Human Services Task Force. My colleague Kim Bowman and I and partners from the Health Department and Emergency Services have been working on implementing our continuity of operations plan, working with our numerous nonprofits in the community, specifically around food and shelter, to make sure that they have adequate resources to continue to provide services to the community. A lot of planning going on, a lot of communication with the state. Both the Pennsylvania Department of Community Economic Development and Human Services have been fantastic partners to date, and I'm sure will continue to be. In my role as the Workforce Development Board director, I'm involved with the Pennsylvania Career Link, Chester County, and I work closely with our partners in Berks and Montgomery counties as well. And I know all three of our workforce development areas have tried to make sure that services continue to be available. We're especially interested in following the unemployment compensation opportunities that are available now, but also that may come out as a result of the federal legislation that hopefully will be passed this week. So we're mindful of that. I would just do a quick commercial of that site of www.uc.pa.gov for all things unemployment compensation driven. That is a state resource, but really critical in these times with the number of layoffs that we're seeing in the three counties. So again, thank you for having me this afternoon.
All right, thanks for being with us. Now we have Chief Operating Officer for Chester County Economic Development Council, Mike Grigalonis. Mike, are you on the line? You want to do a brief introduction?
I am on the line, thank you. And thank you, Senator Muth, again, for including me. I'm happy to be here and appreciate the opportunity. So, yeah, quickly, I am with the Chester County Economic Development Council. We're a private nonprofit organization based in Eagleview in the Exton area. And historically, we focus on things like financing and workforce development and training and site selection and real estate development, those types of things. However, tonight I'm really here focused on what we're doing in the area of financing. Last week, we spent a lot of time working through and trying to educate businesses and make them aware of the opportunity that was available through the SBA. So that became live when Pennsylvania was declared a disaster area last week. We've now shifted our attention a little bit to the state program, which will be coming online here in the next couple of days, and I presume I'll talk a little bit more about that as the call goes on. So my role here today specifically will be about small business financing.
Wonderful. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. And I want to remind everyone on the call listening in that if you have a question for Senator Muth or any of our expert guests here tonight, hit *3 and you'll be placed on a brief call with one of our screeners, and then we'll have you live with our panel here. So we've gotten a bunch of questions ahead of time about the primary election. It's scheduled right now for April 28th, but given the extension of business and school closures, do we expect that to move? Is there anything being done to protect poll workers? And what are options for mail-in or absentee balloting?
Great. I think that to be transparent in this conversation, negotiations are ongoing relative to what's happening in Harrisburg and trying to find some common ground on what we think should happen move forward. So everything that I say now are current proposals, so nothing has been determined or finalized. I just want a full disclosure. So a lot of the efforts to move the date of the primary election center around a date that would be likely June 2nd. Possibly there's some arguments and some case for moving it later to June 23rd, I believe. And clearly we're trying to navigate unknown territory in terms of making sure democracy is upheld and everyone has an opportunity to participate in it, while also finding a balance of making sure that we're not increasing spread and transmission of COVID-19. So as those talks continue, some of the things that are being proposed are modifying polling locations. Many of our poll workers are in an at-risk population that for COVID-19, and we want to be mindful of that. And I think I'm hopeful, and I will continue to advocate for a solution that isn't just based on political preferences, but also based on actually preserving the efforts that we've made thus far to try to mitigate what's happening in Pennsylvania with COVID-19. I don't believe that there is uniform support for a total mail-in ballot effort. I think that, in my opinion, and I'll let Val chime in here as well, about Montgomery County's efforts, but Val's also been helpful in giving since we are the county dealing with the most cases, but trying to look at this, a couple months in advance here of what we think things may look like by June and what is feasible. So those are conversations that are still ongoing. I'm hopeful that something will come out of Harrisburg by Friday, that we can give the public some more information on that. We are encouraging people to register to vote through a mail-in ballot, which is now something that we can do in Pennsylvania, so that you're guaranteed, no matter what, that your ballot is counted and that you have an opportunity to vote and participate. So as those things are finalized, I will certainly be updating on my social media, on my website, to keep everybody informed. And then Val, if you want to talk a little bit about some of what Montgomery County has proposed and how you were involved in those conversations, that would be great.
Sure, happy to do that. So I'm not actually chair of our county's election board. My colleague, Commissioner Ken Lawrence, is, but I've certainly been in on a number of the conversations. So our situation in Montgomery County is very much as the Senator outlined. We have a number of polling locations that are located in senior living facilities, and obviously that is not anywhere where we would want to go with an election right now, because seniors are at high risk of developing more serious disease with COVID-19. And a number are also in schools, all of which are closed right now, and we're not entirely sure when they will open again. The governor announced today that he was extending the closure until April 6th, but we don't know with certainty that that's when the schools will reopen. So we're faced with a difficult situation, but appropriately so, of not wanting to endanger the public's health by having polling locations in places that would potentially be dangerous to residents. Obviously, you have people standing in line at the polls. Most of our poll workers are retirees, and so they are at higher risk for serious disease from COVID-19. So all the way around, it's a very challenging situation. And you know, in the perfect world, I think this would be a great time to mail a ballot to every registered Republican and Democrat in the county and give them an addressed and stamped envelope to mail the ballot back in and conduct this particular, this one single election by mail. But requires a lot of legislative action that may not be possible. So in the meantime, I want to echo the senator to say you can go online and request to vote by mail, and that will take care of the situation. You can vote from the safety and comfort of your home.
Great, thank you for that. Now, you touched on a little bit the timeline of closures and the virus spreading. We had a question about the timeline of the pandemic generally from Jeff in Pottstown. Jeff, I'm going to put you live now to ask your question.
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Yep, perfect.
Okay. As the Senator, and first of all, thank you, Senator, for coming on and talking to us, and to all the county and local officials, very much appreciate your time. At the beginning of the conference, the president came on, was holding a news conference of his own. Sounded like a pretty significant departure from everything we've been hearing up till now. 15 days reevaluating, possibly loosening up some of the tighter regulations that we're facing now. Just curious as to what, has something changed? What's the right information, if there is such a thing? Who should we believe? Who should we be really paying attention to? It's something like this.
Sure, and thank you, Jeff, for your question. I think I have found a lot of information that I know, maybe because I'm involved with these conversations and I know the people that are making the press statements. I think that Montgomery County, Val, and the commissioners do a great job every day at 3 p.m. doing their update. And I know that the governor and Secretary Levine have been doing daily updates, and I can attest to the fact that I know that the information they're giving us is accurate, and trying to get all these different counties to work together. And so from a state level standpoint, you know, that information certainly I can vouch for. As far as federal information, I did not watch the press conference you just mentioned. I've watched others previously, and I think Dr. Fauci is probably the person you really want to listen to during any of these press conferences. And a lot of what we're doing is assessing, you know, what has happened in other countries and looking at their data and how this virus progressed in their populations to follow that. I don't think I can vouch for any other things from my own personal conversations, as I'm not in the federal government, so I'm not involved specifically or directly. We've had a couple calls with the White House where state-level people had the opportunity to get on, but most of the information that I'm given comes from the state, and Secretary Levine specifically cites Dr. Fauci, which I think is wise in the sense that we want to hear what healthcare professionals and experts have to say about how they think this will progress. I think if we're all looking at how other countries have seen on the increased spread, we should expect the same thing. Obviously, not every state is doing the same thing. Not every county has the same plan. And a lot of that has to do with the number of cases that are starting to spread. And I believe today we learned that COVID-19 is in 34 of the counties in Pennsylvania, so it's not yet in all of our counties. But as you see, the numbers continue to exponentially increase day to day. So I think that really gives us an idea to see, that we are getting more cases, and the goal is to slow the rate of which these cases occur, because as Val mentioned, the goal is to not overwhelm and overburden our healthcare system at one time. And I'll let Val, you can chime in on this now, because I know you probably have more expertise or expert words to say.
Well, you're doing a great job. So you may have heard this expression of a flatten the curve, and what everyone's trying to do right now is prevent such a large spike in cases that our first responders and our hospital systems are overwhelmed. So we do not want to be Italy, and it's starting to look like folks in New York City are on a trajectory to really have their health systems be overwhelmed. So that's what we're trying to avoid by asking people to just do some common sense things like stay home unless you absolutely have to go out, and wash your hands frequently with soap and water, or keep them clean with hand sanitizer. And in terms of when we get to end this, nobody really knows. I did not see that press conference either. I can just speak to Montgomery County and a little bit of the region here in Southeast Pennsylvania. Until we start to see the number of cases fall consistently and have those numbers of new cases get down to zero or nearly zero, we are going to need to keep these mitigation measures going if we want to be safe. And I know that on the other side of that is the economic impact, which is devastating. I mean, there's just no way to paint anything other than the fact that this is going to be a devastating economic impact. And the decision that we're going to have to make as a country is, which is more important? Is it better to take the economic hit now, but make sure that we keep as many people alive and unexposed to this virus as possible, make sure that our hospitals can continue to function as we would all want them to if any of our loved ones were sick, versus on the other side, loosening up some of these regulations perhaps a little too soon in order to help the economy. I think that figuring out how to make that decision will get a lot easier in the next couple of weeks, because China is starting to let people go back to work. And we're all watching very closely to see what happens there and whether or not they see a big uptick in cases again. They had literally gotten down to zero new cases within the country. The only new cases were people that were bringing them in from other countries. So if they don't see another big uptick in cases, then that becomes a roadmap for this country potentially. But we are talking, a number of more weeks under that scenario.
Thank you for that. Now, we had a question about food insecurity as this goes on. I think as you're talking about the potential for it to last even longer than 2 weeks, this question is particularly relevant. So Jack in Upper Moreland, you are live to ask your question.
Yeah, hi. My name is Jack Santry. Hello. I'm sorry. My name is Jack Santry.
Hi, Jack. You can go ahead and ask your question for the senator or any of our guests.
All right. So I know in Centennial, we're running in the school district, they're running a grab and go for children 18 or under. Upper Moreland is running an open program at the high school, but again, addressing children 18 or younger. Is there anything being put in place for the adults?
Sure, that's a great question, especially people who don't, can't venture out maybe necessarily to the grocery store and don't want to for the sake of possibly becoming contaminated. I know that our local food banks are incredibly helpful. We're lucky to have, at least I know for sure in Senate District 44, all three counties have great food banks and have a lot of volunteers who are willing to help and even do home deliveries for those people that, you know, can't get out. So I think if you contact the county, or Val, maybe you can chime in directly of Monco, but or reach out to we can send you the info for the food banks of each area. But I know that they're able to provide food and help with for people above the age of 18. And that's a really good question.
Yes, so we're very fortunate in Montgomery County that almost all of our food banks are part of the Motco Anti-Hunger Network, and they work very closely along with SHARE to help make sure that all of our pantries have enough food. And I do want to emphasize that food pantries are considered a life-sustaining business, and so the pantries are open. And in addition to working very closely with our 22 school districts to make sure that the kids who often get their most nutritious meal of the day at school are still getting good nutrition, MON is working with all of our food pantries to make sure they have enough food. We've needed extra drivers for Meals on Wheels, and we've had plenty of volunteers for that. So all those programs are in place. I just also wanted to mention that here in Montgomery County, we have a moratorium on evictions or foreclosures, so no one should become homeless during this time. Our Your Way Home, which is our group, our public-private partnership that works to end homelessness in the county, is taking contributions and is looking to raise enough money to at least temporarily house through the time of this pandemic anyone who's currently experiencing homelessness. We'd like to get those individuals out of our shelters because shelters are relatively close quarters. So all of that work is in place. And so we've been taking a number of steps to really shore up many of our programs that help serve our most vulnerable residents.
Well, that's certainly good news. One question that we've gotten online in a couple of different formats is what's being done for the business community, particularly small business owners and the self-employed?
Sure, I can hop in to take that. This is Mike Grigalonis. A couple things are underway. I mentioned them in my opening remarks, but a couple of the options that I would point to are the SBA has a Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program that is open and live as we speak. That's application is available online at sba.gov. So that's one avenue. And then the state of Pennsylvania has been working real hard over the last couple of days to put its own working capital program online. And you may have read it's been a little bit leaked in the press, so it has been floated out there. I think it'll be live and, you know, maybe hopefully later this week. But that program is a little bit candidly a little bit more attractive than what the SBA is offering currently. The state program will be a 0% interest loan. It'll be a working capital loan that looks back 3 months, so you can basically get reimbursed for the working capital costs that you've had for the last 3 months of operations of your business. So hopefully that'll be able to provide some important capital to the businesses that we know are struggling so mightily right now. As I say, it's a $61 million fund. So you know, in the grand scheme of things across Pennsylvania, that's not a ton of money, but it is something. And then combined with the SBA, and I'm sure there will be certainly a federal stimulus package that comes out here at some point when folks in Washington can agree on what that should look like. So we should keep a close eye on those programs as well, because that's going to be a significant stimulus that would hopefully have a large impact on the small business community as well.
Hey, this is Pat Bakovitz in Chester County. With my workforce hat on, would add to Mike's comments that in conversations with the Pennsylvania Department of Labor and Industry officials today, I'm anticipating some flexibility and some added resources through what's called the Rapid Response Program to help with some of the dislocated workers that we are seeing now and will see maybe over the next few weeks as we move forward. So I think the best way to stay aware of that is to stay connected to your PA Career Link in your community, whether that's Chester County, Berks County, or Montgomery County. And I would, again, anticipate that those programming will be available on their websites. I know in our county we'll be posting them on our website so that folks can start to take advantage of those new resources.
Thank you both, and I just want to add and echo that that we have received many constituent emails, not just myself but other electeds, about making sure that self-employed and contracted workers who typically are not, you know, eligible for unemployment benefits, that they be added into the people that are eligible. And I think what we're telling people and what we've been guided by L and I so far is to just have everyone apply for unemployment despite maybe not meeting the typical criteria. I'm sure you probably have heard how many people have done that, even nationwide. It's tremendous and clearly showing we need assistance for the majority of our, or many of our workers, and having hopefully, as mentioned, the federal government enacting some sort of Unemployment Protection Act for those workers as well, so that the resources are there, and obviously all the other programs that both Mike mentioned, and keeping an eye on some updates that we are trying to get more in place at the state level. Sooner than later for small business, and what that looks like is a continued transformation. But all of your feedback that you sent in, is very helpful to guide us what to go back to, to ask for when we have these meetings. And I meant to say Mike and Pat, I'm sorry.
All right, Alana in Touchtown has a question about testing in Montgomery County. So, Frenna, I'm going to put you live here, and you can ask your question of Senator Muth and our other panelists.
Okay. Hello. I just have a question. I had spoken with my neurologist last week, and she said if we would get sick that we should reach out to telemedicine. I'm immunosuppressed, and, we're being very careful here. Telemedicine says right on their website that they do not offer a script to get tested. So I think in our area, we're all kind of wondering who is it that we would contact. I know not to go to the hospital, but should we need testing?
So this is Val Arkush. We have a community-based testing site up and running since just this past Friday on the Temple Ambler campus, which is in Upper Dublin. And I realize that may not be super convenient for you. But if you do start to experience symptoms, which are a fever greater than 100.4, or if you're 65 years or older, temperature above 99.6, and you have a dry cough or shortness of breath, or a healthcare provider tells you they think that you should be tested, we would be happy to test you there. So since the site has been opened on Friday, we've tested just about 1,100 people. We ask people to register online to make an appointment, and you're given a one-hour time slot. You can show up anytime during that time, and we get you through pretty quickly. So, but we don't have an infinite number of tests. We have a somewhat limited number of tests. So we're asking people that meet certain criteria, which basically I outlined to you, that you're symptomatic or a healthcare provider thought that you should be tested, be the ones that actually sign up for one of these tests. If you fall into any of those categories, you can go to www.montcopa.org. That's MONTCOPA.org/COVID-19. COVID-19. And there's a button at the top of the page that says community testing. And you can just click on that, and it gives you all the information.
great. That'll be very helpful.
Just to add to that, sorry, Brittany. You know, we want to make sure people understand that we're not yet at the testing capacity to start mass population testing of any sort of asymptomatic. I believe that was one of the questions that was asked on a federal press conference, I think over the weekend, was why aren't we not yet testing people to try to identify where, you know, community spread may be. And thank you, Val, for chiming in about the number of tests. We're still trying to, you know, we've gotten a lot more, but we're not at the capacity to start testing asymptomatic people to see if they're carrying it and not yet symptomatic. So, you know, just being mindful of, we want to get people in that obviously have symptoms so we know what's going on, but that's sort of the process that we're going with. And as we build capacity with additional test kits and sites, we will update information on that as well.
Great. Now we're getting a bunch of questions on the line and online as well about schools, finishing up the school year, access for students to continue online learning if they don't necessarily have online access at home. So Andrea in West Norrington had a question along those lines. Andrea, you're live now.
Hi. This is Andrea. I'm a teacher in the William Penn School District, which is in Delaware County, but I live in Montgomery County in West Norrington. And I'm concerned about our 180-day school year requirement. Our district is grossly underfunded, and we are currently not able to do online learning like so many other districts in the Commonwealth. And I'm concerned for my students that they'll never be able to make up those days of instruction. And I guess my question is PDE counting those online instruction days that other school districts are already doing as school days, and will PDE be holding districts to the 180-day requirement at this point?
Thank you, Andrea, for your question. That's a great question, and we, the Secretary of Education has already announced that school districts will not be held to that 180-day requirement, so that has been waived for this school year only. They are currently working on putting some of this through a legislative capacity meeting. Hopefully we, just like I mentioned about the election changes, that we will also be legislating some changes for the schools just for this year because of COVID-19. So again, having all of your feedback has been really helpful, and thank you for everyone that has sent in questions about it, because we're then able to go back to the Secretary of Education and to the governor's team and say these are the things our districts are struggling with. And we all know it's not just, you know, the schools that are have a higher poverty rate or that are in certain parts of the state. There are areas where many students don't have access to internet, or especially in rural, without rural broadband efforts being implemented yet. So we are facing an issue where not every student has access to all the resources that they may need to continue learning at the capacity that they would in school. So some students may not have a computer at home. How do we get computers to every kid? How do we get them online? Or is it possible through a secondary mechanism to, you know, make sure that they get their work? One of the other things we're waiting on is federal guidance on how to deal with students who are on IEPs so that we are compliant with, you know, having students with special needs also get what they need. So this is a ever changing work in progress, and a lot of it, as I mentioned, is we're waiting on federal guidance. Please know that the Department of Education at the state level is certainly trying to be flexible and work with each district as they, you know, discuss their individual needs and what that looks like for each district. So we are taking all of that information to them, and they've been very, very helpful in ensuring that districts are, you know, having the resources or guidance to do what they need to do based on their needs. And a lot of that also, just to touch on it since it's related, is how employees, what's defined as an employee through the district versus, you know, what's just a vague interpretation of who should be paid. So we are trying to get in and make sure that everyone that works at school, at our schools, not just the teachers, but also aides and support staff are also being taken care of. So that's another piece of the legislation for the education bill that hopefully will go through soon. We'll include that part of it. And also, you know, what does this look like when we talk about predicting where we're going to be in a month, 2 months? And as announced today, there's an additional 2 weeks of school closure starting today. And I know that the governor mentioned in his press conference he likes to take things in two-week increments based on the briefings he's given from the Department of Health and how things are progressing. I think we today on our call as a Democratic Senate caucus expressed our concern with not giving school districts enough leeway for planning because it's really difficult to plan out just 2 weeks at a time, how to piecemeal this together, having access to curriculum, and how to prioritize their budgets as well. So again, as those things develop, we will update you once the decisions are made. And as I mentioned, PDE has been very helpful and open to listen to all of our different districts' needs.
Thank you for that answer. We have some questions now about what a stay-at-home order means from the governor. Today he put the color counties of Philadelphia on a stay-at-home order as well as Allegheny County. We have some specific questions about what that means. So Rose in Berks County, you want to go ahead and ask your question?
Yes, good evening. This is Rose from Berks. Wanted to get a clarification on the stay-at-home. If I live in Berks County and I travel to work in the counties that have the stay-at-home, what is the policy for me to go to work? And part two, if I work in those counties that have a stay-at-home, what are the rules and which workers and businesses are essential or life-death, you know, what Governor Wolf is trying to state? If I could get clarification on that?
Sure. So that's
Senator,
that's,
this is...
Yeah, go
Val,
ahead.
If you want me to take that.
Go ahead.
So this is Val Arkush. I'm chair of the Board of Commissioners in Montgomery County. So this stay-at-home order only applies to people in six counties, which Berks is not yet one of. It's Philly and Monco, Bucks, Chester, and Delco, and then Allegheny out west. However, prior to this order being issued, last week the governor issued an order that only life-sustaining businesses are to be open. So if you work at a life-sustaining business, and I can quickly run through those categories if you want me to, you can still work regardless of whether you live in Berks or Montco. Even if you live in a county with a stay-at-home order, as long as you're working at a life-sustaining business, then you are allowed to go to work. You're also allowed to go to the grocery store and the pharmacy and pick up, you know, cleaning supplies for your house, care for a family member or a neighbor, take your dog to the vet if your dog is sick. You know, they don't want any routine sort of maintenance kind of visits, but if there's an illness, you can certainly take your pet to the vet, those types of things. So I'm not sure what your work is, but hopefully that gives you some clarification.
And also, too, the main difference is when, you know, wherever you work, I would assume is a life-sustaining business that you're still coming to work. And we shared a link, and we can share that again as some of it's been updated since the governor made that request on Friday for the life-sustaining businesses to be the only businesses still open. But also that what this means is today's measures announced for those six counties, it's more of an individualized effort, whereas the business effort was targeted at businesses, where today's announcement for the stay-at-home order is to target the general public. So, for example, some of the things that we're trying to mitigate are, although you can still go outside and go for a walk by yourself or with your family that has been, you know, living with you since this all started, that's fine, but we're trying to break apart bigger group gatherings. So if you see, you know, teenagers hanging out in the park together, as difficult as this transition to our new normal life as we know it can be, we need people to socially distance themselves, physically distance themselves from people that are not your immediate family that you live with to avoid community spread. And so go to the store if you need to go to the store where you're still practicing social distancing, and that's fine. You're going, if you go out, it's because you're going out to do something that is life-sustaining activity, so food, medication, or maybe delivering those things to a family member who may need them, that's fine. We really want to try to get as some of these areas where we see people still not adhering to the social distancing request, which is the single only way for us to slow down the spread, is trying to get that enforced, both from a business level, as much as we want to see it also enforced in our neighborhoods, so that there aren't flocks of people still congregating and quote unquote hanging out. You know, I know this is a hard transition, but it's really the only way. So that's the main difference right now.
Thank you for that. We've gotten a few questions now on unemployment, non-employment compensation. With so many people out of work with the business closures, I think this would be helpful to a lot of people on the line. But we're going to go to Stephen in Worcester. Stephen, you're on the line. Can you ask your question?
Yeah, this is Stephen, Montgomery County, Worcester. I think Senator Muth touched upon the unemployment, the situation with unemployment compensation, and I'm by no means an expert, but I did read an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer over the weekend that talked about a lot of the difficulties that people have in applying, but also the difficulties that companies will have when those claims are filed against them and they're expected to pay for what isn't really their fault. Senator Muth, you've talked about this. I don't know if there's what efforts there are in Pennsylvania to relax its own regulations and institute something that's more liberal, and then focus on what the federal might be able to do as far as reimbursement. But that seems to be the most important way to me. I'm fortunate enough that I can work from home without much business interruption. But for those not so fortunate, unemployment compensation seems to be the best way to get money in people's hands as early as possible. So anything else that you could add on that would be appreciated.
Sure. And I think the biggest thing, as I mentioned before, other than the things I referenced, is that as we see what happens federally, that will help lay our path forward as a state to figure out where we need to fill in the gaps or add extra support that may or may not have been provided. So, for example, one of the first drafts of the federal assistance bill or relief package, was, you know, some form of paid sick leave compensation, but the original draft only included, I believe it was 20-some percent of workers, which is not enough people, right? We know many other workers still need help. And for me personally, I've been advocating for, as much as I appreciate, you know, utility companies and rent, you know, landlords and things, deferring payments until someone's able to pay. While we're deferring, if someone's not being paid or able to collect employment compensation, they're essentially accumulating debt. And it's incredibly, a heavy burden for a working family or person to say, great, I'm okay, I'm not going to be evicted or my lights won't be shut off, but how do I get compensated and be able to catch back up, right? And the same thing for small businesses. So while, of course, I'm grateful for the small business loan efforts, which can be very helpful in the, you know, the immediate addressing this, whether it's workers or small business, I think we have to be really looking at this holistically and not just relying on a federal check of $1,500 or whatever these different proposals are. Is what's the short-term immediate relief and what's the long-term immediate relief, you know, relief that we're going to have to figure out. And that may be still for some pieces of this, depending on the impact and the duration of what we're dealing with, will have to be adjusted along the way. And I think that's part of the battle now, and also some of the federal bills that are currently being proposed and have not yet passed include a tremendous amount of corporate bailout dollars and, in my opinion, crumbs for the working people. So I'm hopeful that a different solution is brought to the forefront, because while it's important for our whole economy to succeed, I really, really worry about the people that, you know, the people. I worry about the people and how do we get them the relief, not, you know, a loan or a temporary hold. How do we plan this out? So, you know, that unemployment protection measure, disaster relief, all of these things should be part of the conversation. And we will need all of them in place to succeed, right? And we've made some, you know, concessions in terms of being able to extend deadlines for tax payments at the federal and state level, and that's helpful. But in terms of how do we get people back up on their feet is an ongoing conversation. And if you're in an industry or like I was very grateful for all the people that are 1099 and, you know, filers and people that are self-employed that reached out. Because that, you know, was helpful for me, like I mentioned, to go and advocate for them as part of relief packages. And so your unique circumstances are very helpful in guiding us, because it's certainly not just my constituents that are dealing with it, but everyone's.
All right. Thank you, Senator. We're approaching the end of our time, unfortunately, but we did have Jean Kastner join us. She's the County Health Director for Chester County. Jean, do you want to say a few words about the fight against coronavirus in Chester?
Absolutely, and I apologize for my delayed attendance. I was pulled off for a quick unplanned, although I think our whole days are unplanned at this point. So in Chester County, we entered into an agreement with the Council of Delaware County to support their COVID-19 response efforts. And this is really around the health aspects of it. So our Health Operations Center in Chester County has been operating for a good number of weeks. And essentially what we did is we just expanded our borders to include Delaware County. And our Health Operations Center covers all of our communications, all of our data management, all of the investigations for our positives and the case, our contact tracing efforts, and all of our collaborations and guidance to our stakeholder groups such as healthcare providers, first responders, schools, and long-term care facilities, et cetera. So we're really just kind of centralized everything through our operations center, which sits literally in the same location as our emergency operations center, which is active as well. So it's a nice interrelationship between the two, and if we're not doing the task that has been brought to our attention, for example, you know, supplying of masks, we then push that to our emergency operations centers, and they have been super successful. So we're doing a lot of what all the other counties are doing and doing very well. We just happen to be doing it for two counties, and really, you know, I know Montgomery County has set up some of their own testing. We're using the current hospital systems in the county, which had already established plans to do that, and they are doing it across both counties, and then the public health department really is kind of for those who fall through the cracks. So typically it's going to be the individuals who do not have a primary care provider and or do not have health care insurance. So then we're set up to do the specimen collection and then get that off to the lab. But that's a much smaller number than the lift that our healthcare systems are supporting. And then what we're trying to do is ensure that those healthcare systems can remain open and allow for that testing. So we haven't, much like Montgomery County, I heard earlier mentioned, we're not doing the big open public testing where it's a come one, come all because of our supply demand, much like everybody else. We have to kind of prioritize those populations. So that's it in a nutshell. I apologize for not being on in the beginning, but everyone has had wonderful questions, and I appreciate the thoroughness in the answers.
Thank you so much. Now, Senator, before we wrap up, I want to ask if any of your other guests have some final thoughts for our listeners before we close out for the evening. Mike, Pat?
Sure, this is Pat. I would just offer up again to stay connected to, in Chester County at least, the Pennsylvania Career Link, Chester County, and United Way Financial Stability Center. We still have a number of remote programming that participants can take advantage of, including connections to the state's unemployment compensation office and phone numbers and websites that I think will be very critical to stay aware of as we move forward. I would also add that just like our colleagues in Montgomery County, we also have a very active food, Chester County Food Bank and partners that are doing a fantastic job. And our homeless initiative is called Decade of Doorways, and our nonprofits, housing providers are really stepping up and can't be more proud of them. So did want to do a shout out for that. For those number of partners that are really working day to day as we go through this process.
So, this is Mike. I'll just add real quickly two things. I would say that we've really tried hard to keep our website as current as possible. So as new programs come online and clarification comes out, it's a great spot. It's ccedcpa.com. So that's one plug there. And then I'd also probably in the next week or so, we're planning a joint conference call similar to the format that we have here this evening that will be specifically focused for the business community. And we're trying to time it for when the state program comes out, and hopefully the federal programs will be out as well. So we're trying to plan a program with the county and with the countywide chamber and the local chamber. So we'll have a comprehensive program on the telephone for our business owners in Chester County in the coming week. And thank you for including me in this conversation, Senator.
This is Val Erkush. I just want to thank everybody for being on the call tonight, and thank you, Senator Moose, for organizing this call. And just want to remind everybody that we are going to get through this. This is not our new forever. This is just our new for now normal. And the more that everyone can do to take common sense steps and stay home, the better the chances are that we will not overwhelm our hospitals and we will minimize the transmission of this disease to people who are most at risk of serious complications should they get it. So I know this is tough. It's particularly hard for small business owners, for parents of young children. But if we pull together, we will absolutely beat this thing. And everyone is welcome to check out our Data Hub site. It's the numbers are specific to Montgomery County, but we have many, many other resources that are specific to anybody in Pennsylvania. And that is www.montcopa.org/COVID-19. And we update that page at least once and often several times a day.
Okay, Brittany, I'll close the show. I just want to say thank you to all the guest speakers for coming to provide all the information and all the links that they mentioned. We do have a COVID-19 tab on my website as well. We share county resources. Like I said, I'm very lucky to be in a Senate district with three great counties that are really well organized and have information and are working actively daily to try to update their information and make sure that everyone's needs are being met. And Stay tuned, obviously, for more information about support programs that we roll out at all levels of government. You know, there's so many different circumstances that we need to address, and know that you are lucky to be represented by people who are really fighting to make sure all of our needs are met. And as the commissioner mentioned, this isn't forever, but this is very serious, and it's within our power to mitigate some of this and of the spread, and to follow these guidelines and encourage others that may not see this as serious as it really is to take it serious. This is a life or death situation for some people, and we have to be mindful of that, and we also have to be hopeful and remember that we can make it through this, and the more organized we are and the more that we share resources, the better this will go. And I will share all the links and also put together a Q&A document, so everyone's questions that didn't get answered, we'll have them in one comprehensive place, and this town hall will also be able to be listened to after the fact, so we'll have a link posted if someone couldn't make it on and would like to listen to it later. And thank you again for everyone who participated. Thank you for everyone for your questions and your feedback, and also again to the guest speakers and all of the staff that are on right now making the magic happen. So thank you very much, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thank you everyone for participating in Senator Katie Muth's telephone town hall. If you're still on the line and you didn't have a chance to ask your question, remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on voicemail, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. If you have additional questions or concerns, you can call the Senator's office directly at 610-792-2137 or visit her website at senatormuth.com and submit a web form there. So you've been a great audience. Thank you for sharing your evening with us, and I hope you found this format helpful. Good night.